when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
The income in the first couple of years wasn't that great, but I think after the 2 years, once you've established yourself, then you know your income starts improving.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking to professional real estate agent Winston White. Growing up in a mining town, White had an interest in property from a young age, renovating and selling 15 properties himself and acquired another 20 properties for clients. Tune in to learn about his highs and lows of renovations and much, much more. To start with, White tells us a little bit about his background and what he has been doing in the realm of property.
I've been a property professional since 2001. I guess I'm brought up in a place called the Pilbara. It's a mining town up in Western Australia as well. Immigrated from New Zealand and always had an interest in property as well from a very young age. I started renovating properties and selling them for profit. Didn't really know what I was doing a lot, but had some really good results, had some not so good results. And then I decided that, to go and get licensed as an agent. So I knew all the ins and outs as well. So that was the first part of the journey. And then I ended up working for property developers and builders in Perth because I wanted to know a little bit more about property developments as well. Did quite a few of my own renovations and subdivisions as well. So retaining the front lot and building behind, et cetera, et cetera. And learned quite a lot from that experience as well. So worked with another company where I was typically a buyer's agent as well. And I guess, that really opened my eyes to how to negotiate with sellers and buyers and getting favorable terms on both sides of the fence so everybody ends up having a win. So, that was really beneficial.
On any given day, White works as a buyer's agent, helping vendors who might be struggling to sell their properties, as well as a selling agent.
So what I do at the moment is, I suppose you could best describe it as a buyer's agent. So I'm helping people into property who can't get mainstream finance as well. And I'm helping sellers to move their properties who may be struggling to sell in a downturn market. Because we've been here in Perth, we've been in the doldrums for the last 4 years. Buyer's agent plus, part selling agent as well. So I suppose you can call it a hybrid type as well. Yes. So I'm sort of pre-qualifying buyers. Typically I'm looking for where are most of the problems, and the biggest problems in any markets for buyers is that most of them don't have the big deposit to get into property. So we've got a number of solutions to actually help them raise the deposit so they can get into property. Obviously, they still need the income to service the debt.
That's very smart because most people who go, okay, can't afford to buy a property will just you know, walk away the situation and maybe come back in a few years' time when they do have more money. But if you're looking from that kind of point of view, because I guess you're looking to try and help turn over property, then that's a really, really good option for them, because some people do want to get in, but just don't know how. So that's great that you're offering that.
Yeah, so and it's quite a large market as well.
Born in New Zealand, White and his family came over to a mining town in Western Australia when he was 8 years old in 1976. He tells us about his early years growing up in this town and going to school there.
Most of my schooling, primary school was up there. I did some of the high school. Then I went to boarding school down here in Perth as well. So, that was an interesting experience. And then, but most of my schooling and teenage years was in the Pilbara. The Pilbara is basically an iron ore mining town. I guess very, very community orientated. The population was only 20,000 at the most, but everybody knew everybody, and I guess you sort of spent a lot of time playing sport, or you were camping, fishing, a lot of outdoor activities as well. So as kids, we certainly didn't spend much time indoors playing video games. That's for sure.
White believes it was quite a bold move for his father and mother to move from New Zealand to Australia, and a good decision because the town he lived in was very multicultural, and that meant he grew up around many different cultures.
It was a pretty bold move from my father and mother to make that, but I guess it was a really good decision for them to do that, because the Pilbara was actually very multicultural as well. So a lot of people from New Zealand, a lot of islanders, a lot of Europeans, so I was brought up respecting all cultures, really. We had a lot of Muslims in our community as well, which were very cool people. I guess being brought up in a multicultural town like that, where everyone's up there to earn money in the mining industry, it was you took it for granted that you were in a small community where everyone knew everybody, and certainly most of the time people got on as well. So and being exposed to so many different cultures that as a young person, I thought everywhere's the same, until you actually leave that environment and find that it's not the same everywhere around.
Moving to Pilbara was a good financial opportunity for White and his family.
A lot of people had their accommodation paid for and all their outgoings, so the outgoings were very small. I think Dad only got deducted $30 a week for housing, and all the power was all paid for. So it was a very good opportunity financially as well.
He tells us a little bit about working in real estate was much different in the mining town he grew up than in Perth.
That was during high school. I went to boarding school, so a lot of country people went down to a boarding school here in Perth, which was an interesting experience as well. But when I moved down here, I was doing real estate in the Pilbara as well, so it's a lot different mentality up there. Particularly in a small community where everybody knows everybody, typically business was, I'd go to the pub on a Friday night and walk out with five listings, for example. That's how, being, playing a lot of sport and being well known up there was, it was quite easy to do business up there. But coming down to Perth, that's a totally different story. Nobody knew who I was, so I actually had to get out and work.
After White finished boarding school, he went back out to Pilbara to work in the mines, but he soon got bored of the job and wanted to pursue something else.
So in the mines back then, it was very union-orientated, so we didn't do a lot of work. We were basically driving around playing cards all day. It was pretty boring. I just knew people who were doing quite well in property, renovating and buying property as well. So I always had an interest on that and started reading a few books, of course, and going to a few seminars and listening. And then I just decided that I knew one of the licensees up there, knew their whole family quite well. And, yeah, he was a very good mentor to me as well. So
at first, education wasn't a pressing issue for White because in Pilbara, people based their business dealings on whether they knew, trusted and liked you. But when it came down to Perth, he realised he needed to get some qualifications if he wanted to compete with other people for positions.
Education wasn't big for me back then until I actually left the Pilbara. And then I thought, you know what, I don't, you know, because I kept missing out on positions because people wanted, you know, more qualifications. So that's in the Pilbara, I guess, you know, I won a few awards up there. It, mainly because I suppose being well known up there and playing a lot of sport and being well liked as well. So, you know, people tended to like me and trust me. So they going to a pub on a Friday night and walking out with six listings is not exaggerating as well. So, yeah, that served me quite well. But when I left and come down to Perth, I mean, you know, I kept missing out on positions that I applied for because people wanted, you know, qualifications. And that's when I decided that, you know what, I'm just going to work and then I'll study part-time. So I went back and did a Bachelor of Commerce in Property Valuations and Property Development.
Establishing himself in Perth as a real estate agent was not easy, and it took a number of years before White was able to make a name for himself.
Coming to Perth was 2001. I come down, so so it was, you know, I had to find something really quickly, and I was enjoying the real estate side of things as well. There were parts of it I didn't like, but obviously, you know, coming down, and I thought it was another challenge, and trying to make a name for yourself down here. It took a number of years before you started really establishing yourself, I guess. Just as a normal real estate agent, listing and selling, I can remember the crazy hours we used to do to get our names out there. You know, so doing 10, 12-hour days, 6, 7 days a week was pretty common back then. And you know, I guess the income of the first couple of years wasn't that great. But I think after the 2 years, once you've established yourself, then, you know, your income starts improving from there.
After about 3 years in the real estate business, White began to work with a lot of developers, helping them to move their stock. And although this allowed him to learn more about property development, and in particular apartments, he eventually decided it wasn't for him.
After about 3 years, thereabouts, or 3.5, I actually started working with a lot of developers and moving their stock. You know, I had an opportunity to go and work with one of the developers. He was a very good salesperson, mind you. So, you know, he said instead of listing properties one by one, you can have access to 30 or 40 properties straight away. So I thought it was an opportunity, and I went to work for the developer in selling apartments as well. So learned quite a lot in the apartment space. So that's what it was project marketing as well. So a lot of off-the-plan stock, and also there was some stock that was actually completed. So we'd sell completed stock as well. So yeah, big learning curve. I'm glad I did that because then, you know, I thought, you know what, after about 2 or 3 years of doing that, I actually thought the strata levies and everything else like that. I actually thought that some of the strata levies and the apartments, from an investment point of view, I just didn't believe in the product anymore. So I went to work for a builder as well, so doing house and land packages.
Coming up after the break, hear about White's first property, which he renovated to increase the value.
This particular property was right on the coast. So standing, you know, had a massive big patio overlooking the ocean.
How his property journey progressed.
Ended up selling that and coming down to Perth with the amount of cash that I made off that and ended up buying a number of investment properties down here as well.
His biggest aha moment on his property journey.
I found this earlier is that, you know, if you're genuinely looking for solutions for people's problems and you go there with that sort of mentality, then people know, they can feel that you're actually trying to help them as well.
All that and more coming up after the break. I'm Tyrone Shum and you're listening to Property Investory. White's first property was up in Port Hedland, where he saved up to $10,000, all that he needed to save back then, and purchase a property for $175,000.
That was my first property, and I renovated it as well, so to increase the value. So when I actually left, I ended up selling it for, I think it was $275,000. So that was about 5 years later. I guess I just wanted, so this is, obviously a property I wanted to live in, so I've got a big connection to the ocean as well, so I just want to be close to the coast. This particular property was right on the coast, so standing, you know, had a massive big patio overlooking the ocean, so when I thought it was just really cheap to be right on the ocean. So it sat there for a little while because people weren't very big on fibro homes. Fibro, I mean, it's like fibre cement sheeting. So, you know, I didn't see an issue with it. And it also had a lot of big trees and a lot of maintenance that needed to be done on the property as well. So to have something coastal like that, I just thought it was really cheap. And they were asking, you know, $190, so I went in at $179 or $175. Can't remember, that's that long ago.
How did you come across this particular property and why did you choose that particular area as well?
That particular area was, you know, in that particular town there, it's divided up to where all the white collar workers tend to live. And it was a really good neighbourhood as well. So I just thought it, and I saw it was right on the coast. And back in those days, I mean, obviously we didn't have internet. I'd have to go into the real estate agency and pick up a brochure and flick through the brochure to have a look what was available. And then you basically had to drive around and have a look at most of the properties. But as soon as I pulled up and I saw that property and there was no one living in there, I actually, you know, walked in and I stood under the patio and I could see the ocean, you know, it's just, I was almost sold then. You know, just the location being on the ocean and I could see myself spending a lot of time out on the patio because the patio was massive. It was bigger than the house as well. So, and that's exactly what we did. We, you know, all our meals most nights were barbecues under the patio overlooking the ocean. Yeah.
Despite buying this property near the ocean as a principal place of residence initially, White ended up selling it, and this kickstarted his property investing journey.
Ended up selling that and coming down to Perth with the amount of cash that I made off that and ended up buying a number of investment properties down here as well. So just renovations alone for buying and selling, flips or whatever you want to call them, trading properties, I'd say there'd be at least 15 as well. So that was, you know, I also worked for a company that teaches people how to buy properties, renovate, subdivide. So you know, with their company, there'd probably be another 20 that I helped acquire, would renovate and sell them. And then, you know, between the owner and I, we would split the profits as well. So that worked really well. And we mainly did, you know, kitchens and bathrooms, just renovating them, floor coverings, light fittings, rendering the front. We wouldn't do any major extensions, but and then we'd turn them over. Generally, every 2 to 3 months, we'd turn them over. We wouldn't do any major extensions, but and then we'd turn them over.
One of his worst investing moments was in 2008, when the market started to plummet and people weren't buying property anymore or gave offers that were too low.
I guess 2009. You know, people talk about 2009, but it was actually 2008 that the market started to plummet. And I suppose 2006 was when, you know, you could basically get sign a stat deck and get a loan. But the market started free falling around the end of 2008. So we had probably two projects that we hadn't quite finished. We were about to go to market. And when we did complete them, you know, they sat on the market for, well, just no one was buying back then as well. So we were forced to rent them out because the offers we were getting were, you know, there was just no money in it as well. So, you know, we were forced to rent them out and wait for the market to recover. And it took a number of years for the market to recover. So it took another 3 or 4 years before the market did recover from the end of 2008.
He goes into depth about this particular property that was one of his lows on his property journey, which due to market timing and a tenant wasn't able to sell.
When we actually purchased it at the time, because I don't know if you know people remember 2006 and 7, the market was growing almost on a quarterly basis. As well, so because of the subprime lending, you know, so money was freely available for people to buy property, and that's exactly what happened. So we purchased the property up in the hills, and it was 5 acres. We paid what we thought at the time was a really good price. The owner, you know, all he wanted was that he just wanted his debt gone. And he wanted enough to buy a caravan, so we gave him what he wanted. But you know, the real value, I thought we purchased that for at least $100,000 under market. And so we thought we'd spend another $30,000 to $40,000 to increase the value by another $50,000. So you know, potentially we could have made at least $100,000. Gross profit out of that property once we sold it. But of course, once we finished the renovations, that one took a little bit longer to finish because the owner said he was moving out on such and such a date, but he didn't end up moving till a lot longer. So it actually held up our renovations. So that was one learning curve, is that once we agreed to purchase the property, that you know, that we make sure everyone's out of the property. So the renovations took a lot longer to complete because he just didn't want to move until he was ready. So it you know, he stayed there for an extra 4 months, which we still had to pay. And of course we could have gone to the court, and you know, but the time we would have gone through and spent all the money to get him out of the property would have taken that long anyway. And so when he finally moved out and we finally got in to do the renovations, I mean, you know, that took another at least 6 weeks. So, and then by the time we put it on the market, you know, the market was already starting to started to fall. Well, the news and the media, which most people are influenced by, wasn't good as well. So, yeah, so it just, You know, we're talking 5 acres in a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom home, which, you know, the renovations were really nice. If we purchased and renovated in our time frame, we would have sold it and still made money. Because it took so long, the market, it swung very, very quickly as well. So, yeah, just unfortunate that things like that happened. The owner, because I'd moved on from that company, he did end up selling it in 2012. Still made a reasonable profit, and still made a profit. So, you know, but he had to wait a lot longer to do that.
A light bulb moment for White was when he realized a genuine desire to help people reap rewards and decided on splitting profits on commission with the vendors.
An aha moment was a big one, and I found this earlier, is that, you know, if you're genuinely looking for solutions for people's problems, and you go there with that sort of mentality, then people know, they can feel that you're actually trying to help them as well. So that's when, you know, some of these renovations, we were allowed to access the property without even buying them as well. So we would access the property, renovate it, then sell it, and sometimes we'd pay the seller more money than he could get on a normal sale as well. So we'd cut him in on the profits. I guess the property we come across was in a suburb called Subiaco. And Subiaco is quite a affluent, you know, high-end type suburb as well. So the place was an old character home. It was run down, you know, it was a divorce. She just didn't have the money to spend on doing the renovation. So she knew if she spent money on renovations that she would get a lot more money for the property. So, you know, the paperwork involved in that was typically, we had an option on the property to buy at a predetermined price. We had a time frame. We would spend the money on the renovations, and then we would go to market as well. So, you know, obviously we got a lawyer involved to write up the paperwork. She went to her lawyer to make sure that everything was as we agreed upon. And then we spent the money on the renovations and went to market. We increased the value on that property by 250 grand, but we only spent about 50 grand on the property. The vendor was very happy with that result. I mean, she knew that, you know, if she went to market as it is now, that, you know, all she would attract was lowballers. Whereas if she spent some money, which she didn't have, that would increase it. So, yeah, we ended up getting a really good result on that. So we actually gave her 10% more of the profits, and she was very happy with that as well.
And now she's become a client for life, I would say.
The vendor was very happy with that result. I mean, she knew that, you know, if she went to market as it is now, that, you know, all she would attract was lowballers. Whereas if she spent some money, which she didn't have, that would increase it. So, yeah, we ended up getting a really good result on that. So we actually gave her 10% more of the profits, and she was very happy with that as well. We ended up getting a really good result on that. So we actually gave her 10% more of the profits, and she was very happy with that as well.
So, inspired by his story, we'll continue the conversation with Winston White in a future episode of Property Invest Story, where we'll learn more about his strategies for investment.
So, you know, what that means is, you know, typically if I'm buying the property and I don't want to put 20% deposit down, I might ask the vendor if they can leave some of the deposit on the table.
The mentors that have helped him on his journey
also, you know, obviously working with Jill McIntyre, who I've been working with her for about 3 years now. She actually instilled a lot of self-belief that and bigger goals as well.
As well as the daily habits that keep him on track.
So always updating skills and mindset, I think, is really important.
All this and much more on a future episode of Property Investory.
Skills and mindset, I think, is really important.
All this and much more on a future episode of Property Investory.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.